This is the monthly security committee meeting, the regular meeting. It's June 5th, 2025, and it's 10 a.m., and we're ready to begin.
All right, I'll kind of get us started there. Sorry.
Item number two, public comment.
I forgot that part again.
Yes, I do have a public comment, Richard Gears.
We haven't had the security logs published on the website. I'm wondering if that's, it's been several months, I think.
No, they're published all the way through April. I have a lot of competing priorities, like getting the budget book prepared.
Yeah.
So I just have to double check that all the redactions are done, and I'll be posting May.
Okay, thank you.
And then for item number three, I believe Brandon has prepared a security report.
Yes. Brandon Reno, Administrative Security Sergeant.
Wait. Okay. All right. Okay. I have some notes and some comments. I'll make them at the end. Brandon, does the security report look like the report that you gave us?
Is yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. Go ahead.
All right. Started off with the operation updates. The department's currently working on the following projects throughout the month of May. Recruiting was frozen till further notice. We have 10 part-time gate officers and 7 full-time gate officers, 3 full-time patrol officers, with a total of 20 employees in total. 10 of these employees are probationary employees.
Okay. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to stop you as we go through this, because there's, you know, questions I want to ask.
Okay.
I want to get from you a lot of information about needs.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So so we're not hiring because we don't have positions or we don't have money.
Yeah. So I'll change that wording. So the term frozen, just so everyone is aware, means we're not hiring in that because of usually a financial constraint.
Oh, okay.
Nothing is frozen at this point.
Okay.
We're not hiring because there's no open positions.
So okay.
there's no freeze or hiring freeze on security.
Okay.
There's just not any positions that are open to hire for.
Okay, so that brings up
my
next set of questions here. We've got 10 part-time gate officers and 7 full-time gate officers, and then we have 3 full-time patrol officers, right? No part-time patrol officers.
No part-time patrol officers.
And I just 1 second on that note. So what we actually show from HR is 9 full-time positions and 10 part-time positions is currently what we're showing.
For which? 9?
I'll give you the breakdown. There are 3 patrol, which includes Brandon. And so those positions are all full-time.
Okay.
So that would leave 6 positions that are full-time that are gate officers, and then all of the part-time officers are gate officers currently.
All right, here we go. I have to repeat this because all right, we don't have 10 part-time gate officers, or we do have 10 part-time gate officers, and then we have 7 full-time gate officers.
Let me check that exactly, because I wrote down a total. So there are 10 part-time. There would be 6 full-time gate officers.
Okay, 6 full-time gate officers. And in patrol, we have 3 full-time patrol officers, including Brandon.
Correct.
Right? Is that right, Brandon? Yeah. So it's 20 employees total, or 19?
19
would be correct.
Okay. And of the 19, 10 are probationary, meaning they were hired within the past year.
Yes.
Right?
I haven't verified that.
Okay.
I didn't see that as a note, but that most likely is correct.
So it's that's interesting that we
Yes, I would say that, and you have to remember, Brent and I are both kind of stepping into this.
Oh, yeah, no, I know that.
The hiring looks like there was a large amount of part-time employees hired, probably in excess of what's needed currently.
Mm-hmm.
And so staffing has been, to make it equitable and equal across for the part-time employees, has been very difficult. Because of the fact that there is an excessive amount of part-time employees compared to open shifts to schedule.
Okay.
And so we're trying to currently work on that and then also look at our staffing needs as a business need. So that conversation, I think, will come at a later date.
Well, one of the things I wanted to do, actually, was item number 7 is the budget. When we're talking about staffing schedules and patrol coverage as we are right now, I really would like to connect that with our discussion on the budget, because the budget is a vital part of this security situation.
Absolutely,
okay.
And Amelia and I have been working on that portion to determine the number of FTEs that would be applicable to security.
And that was my next question. What do you need? This is what we have, and what do you need? I mean, and I mean that in the sense of we're talking about 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That's what Measure J says, basically. So are we able to cover that type of need? Or that type of situation?
With the current staff that we have now, the gates are 24/7 operational.
Patrol is not?
Patrol, for the most part, it is. There's two vacant shifts that occur, but it doesn't ever go over a 24-hour period without somebody. There's always somebody for every day that's going to be there.
So I'm going to correct that. And my apologies. 24/7, 365 means no gaps in a day. So it's not about having one employee for the day. So you're correct. We do not, in our patrol, we do not cover 24/7, 365. The gates are covered 24/7, 365,
okay.
Not patrol. The staffing in patrol, we would need to have at least at a minimum to do that 4 patrol officers. And that would be if they were working a shift that isn't currently covered under their memorandum of understanding. That would be for 12 hours. If you go to 8-hour shifts or even wanting some overlap, you need at least 5 to 6 full-time employees, FTEs. I'll be careful about saying full-time. You need about 6 FTEs to get it done with 8-hour shifts. And if you look at 10s with overlap, that may reduce, that maybe to 5, but I've never really looked at that type of a schedule. But currently, no. In patrol, we are not meeting 24/7, 365 coverage.
I'm just thinking about what we can do with this. I feel comfortable with the gate situation. I do know that sometimes we don't have people to do vacations, or is that accurate?
I'm sorry to do vacations.
You know, sometimes we have to cover for a vacation or for time off or for sickness or that kind of stuff. So
I was able to, last month we had a numerous amount of vacations, and so far I've been able to cover it with the current staffing. It's
okay.
It's mainly gate officers that have been requesting for vacation time. So
okay.
Last month was really minimal to no overtime even used with the current staffing that we have.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I would say our issue isn't in not being able to fill shifts, it's being able to staff employees to have actual time at the gates, because we have so many employees that are part-time that it makes it difficult to get them hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of become a concern that I've noticed in the district is we have so many part-time employees that some aren't, I mean, some of them haven't been scheduled for a couple months in a row. And that's kind of a difficult position to be in as an employee versus also what we're doing as a business need. So we have 16 employees directed towards the gates. And so we do have the ability to cover. And that's, I think it's a conversation that's going to come up here in the future about how many we should have to kind
absolutely,
of make that work for the business.
Right. The patrol concerns me. When you talk about security and you talk about the gate and you talk about patrol, yes, they're very much two separate job descriptions. And I think we learned a lesson these last few months because people were brought on and there was what I would call a breakdown in services. And I'm sure that there's a lot of misconceptions in the community that all you do is stand in the gate and you push the button. And that is not all you do. You've got to have mature, responsible people covering those gates. Otherwise, you not only end up with a lot of complaints and some serious problems, but you also end up with those big long lines. So I think as we get into the whole discussion on training and everything and some of the things we want to do, that will make a big difference. Patrol is different to me, anyways. Patrol is really two things that one thing that we did to help patrol was put cameras around, and I think that we can continue to do that. I'm not sure where we are in that direction, but I think cameras are going to continue to help us with situations where we can't have a patrol officer there all the time. This is a personal thing, but I also think it's very important to the community. Our reservoirs are just, to me, the single biggest thing that we have to be concerned about. They're completely available any time of the night or day. Once you get in here, you know, if you get in here with misintent or malintent, whatever they call it, there's plenty of things you can do to make life pretty uncomfortable. But a lot of what happens around reservoirs and those back areas is from within. And I don't have a solution to the whole problem. I have some ideas that haven't really gone anywhere, but I feel like if we can get a situation where gates are comfortably covered, I would really like to focus on patrol and have that be one of the goals in security. Along with that comes the whole budget situation. So I don't have any brilliant answers for this. All I can see where the problems are. And in the summertime especially, I don't know if you remember what it's like here, but we do have the 4th of July, which is really pretty much under control the last 2 years. 3 years ago, it was a nightmare. And last year was maybe 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, it was a nightmare. Unbelievable. And last year, it was okay. We didn't have a lot of problems. And I can't predict what's going to happen this year. But on a day-to-day basis, if you walk around that property, if you walk along the river, you'll see campfires. You'll see and people who live on Puerto and around Lake Calero and Chesboro, they can see the cars coming in at night all the time. And again, I believe it's. Patrol is not just, wellness checks. It really is a major part of our security. And so when we continue to talk about this, I'm hoping that we can figure out some ways to, on occasion, you know, on certain shifts or whatever, have double coverage so that we could have the regular patrol and we can have somebody also really focusing on certain areas. So those were some of the things that I was looking for under staffing schedules and patrol coverage. If anybody else has anything they want to say about that, that's cool. That's good. I think we covered it. Basically, that we're pretty comfortable with gates, but we're not very comfortable, or I'm not very comfortable with patrol. You know, so we'll be talking about it in the budget conversations some more. I am going to just make a comment about the status of the barcode program. You can go ahead and do that if you want to, Eric.
I can give you an update on the barcode. I was going to first touch on, would you like us, I know Amelia stepped out for a quick second. Would you like us to add this as a discussion item for the board about patrol itself, like patrol scheduling as an item, as a discussion item, so that way we can discuss what we want to do with it, because we are in the budget cycle.
Right.
I mean, really, that comes down to budgeting and how the board directs us to provide that service, or how they want to provide the service. So
yes,
I think that would be a good
that's
item.
That's a very good idea. Actually, I'll wait till Amelia comes back. But
I'll list it. I'll just list it as a note.
Yeah, that's fine.
She'll hear us in the recordings.
I'll make my comment at the end that I was going to make at the beginning.
And then, so, hi, Amelia. We were going to add an item for board discussion for budgetary reasons for patrol scheduling.
Okay. I'm sorry, I had to...
No, you're okay.
Okay.
It's basically just how the board wants to go about either budgeting to elicit a schedule that everybody is comfortable with. So basically, it's to talk about 24 scheduling, 24/7, 365 patrol scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Gates is really out of it because they have 24/7, 365. So this would really fall with just patrol. So I figured we'd just put a discussion item called patrol scheduling in there so that we can just discuss it.
I'm going to add a discussion item to the board meeting. Patrol scheduling.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
And then the update on the barcode program. So Amelia received a breakdown from ABDI. Did I get that right?
I got a breakdown from ABDI of all of the, yes,
and so
active barcodes.
Yeah, so I've been working to separate that spreadsheet into a functional working spreadsheet. Approximately what I've come up with by, like what they've taught. So enabled, they have an enabled disabled barcode line. And what we started with was around 16,000 barcodes because it's listed on what's sold, people have moved. Also, it looks like members of RMA, which also is a line. And then it comes down to the enabled. Currently, what I have is enabled and vehicles that are 2010 and newer is about 8,000. I believe about 8,100 vehicles is in that list. So we have a
That would be the list that we would be working from.
Yes, and what I'm hoping to do is, with Amelia, is start public outreach and break it down, hopefully by, we'll say residents by last name and maybe like A through C, and give them like a week period to call in or even send an email in. And then what I can do is go through and adjust all of those barcodes so that we get an active count.
Okay.
But we are going to have to do community outreach because right now we're at 8,100 vehicles.
Another community outreach I'm going to do, I was planning on doing, is to add into the pipeline, a full page in the pipeline, and on the top of the page have it say, you know, this is what's happening, this is what the board is doing, they're going to be, you know, planning on adding this barcode fee, please keep your bill at a minimum and cut off the bottom of the page. Send it in with name, address, barcode, numbers, active vehicles.
That would be That would be perfect.
Right? And then they could just fold it up and send it right back with their bill, or also add a link to the, you know, give us your comments page that's a specific page just for reporting that.
Yeah, because my hope in doing this was to not use my business RMCSD email. It would have been to create an email site specifically just for this, so that way they could go there. But that's a much better idea of doing
it
through
that way. That's already there, and so
yeah, they're already getting.
And then I'll have that link be on the very, very front page, so it's not buried in there too. So I'll put it on Facebook. I'm sure Beth will put it on her Facebook page for us.
Yeah, and hopefully this wouldn't be so. I have to coordinate with my other Cecilia, the other director, and hopefully this would be front desk staff or front office staff validating these numbers for me. Pretty stretched then, so to go through 8,100 vehicles, which really is a list of about 12,000 vehicles, would be very time consuming for me. So hopefully we'll elicit staff to be involved in this as well, not just me, and then we would be able to give information once it's updated. But we are moving forward.
Okay. Eric, along with the other item that we're going to bring to the board, I think this would be part of your report.
Yeah, we can definitely do that in the security report update in that section.
Okay.
And that also is directly connected to the budget.
Yes, correct. Currently...
Security budget, yeah.
Yes, this is part of the security budget. We've reduced the number down, and what our projection was about 4,000 vehicles, which would... The revenue would come in around January, because that's when the billing most likely is set to take place. So we estimated a low number, which is about 50% of what we're showing is currently active. Mm-hmm. So we think that we'll be well within line. And the budget was built off of that. So that shortfall that's being represented, about $15,000, most likely will not happen. This would cover that.
Okay. So we've got two things right now that we're bringing.
Yes, because do you want this one just covered under the report, or do you want it as a discussion item? Because if it's in just the report that I have that night, the security, like a security operations update report, then everyone can discuss it, because it'll just be as part of that. Or we could put it as a separate discussion item, the barcode fee.
Well, no, we just want to have a report back, because just to let them know what our plans are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they can just, so it'll be in that security part. So it'll be... Okay. They'll just be, and you'll be able to discuss it. The board will be able to have conversations since it's a part of that report.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So I gotta go back, because I was gone for 30 seconds, and we seem to have jumped through the entire agenda. So.
No, we haven't.
Okay. We're gonna talk about RMA rules. Okay. I'm just like.
We talked about patrol coverage, and
I was here then. Yes.
Okay. And then we talked about. The budget as it relates to what kind of coverage we have.
Okay, I got that. That here.
So we did what I was hoping to do, which was move number 7 up to number 4 to be included.
4C,
And I believe we've handled 8, so I think we're going back to 5 and 6.
Yes, sorry. I got... When you talk about security or anything in general, you have one topic, and then it's connected to another topic, and then it's connected to another topic. And so we've got three things going on in security, coverage, money, and under the money part of it comes the barcode. So I would like to go back to 4D.
4D, yes, ma'am.
The training and training manuals. Just run through that again so that we know where we are with that. We have a training manual.
Yes, we do have a training manual. It's a Security Department Operations Manual, and it was last updated October 2011. It's a full book that breaks down patrol officer procedures, administrative procedures, gate officer procedures, dispatching, district code, maps, bulletins, memos, and so on and so forth. A lot of this stuff I'm going to go through.
It's outdated.
Yeah, because of how outdated it is. And I would like to, if possible, come up with a simpler version, so when we are training our employees, they're going to get a simplified version that they're going to be able to understand a lot better.
Right.
And when I was first here, we'd have to go through this whole book and initial that we understood everything that we just learned.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I kind of want to go through the same, you know, so the
process.
Same thing that way. Yeah, that way when we are doing the training, you know, you're signing that you understand what you just learned, and hopefully you're going to implement what and not go off of, or you know, anything off of the training that you've received.
Right. So just going back one step, is this training manual part of our security handbook?
It is the security handbook.
Okay. Yeah.
It's about this thick, Linda.
Okay. Is there anything in the security handbook, even as it is now, with a lot of outdated information, that we could separate out? As far as what we train, what we call the training manual, and what we call, like, what I would call a backup, the full security manual?
From what I know, this is the training manual. This is what
thing.
I was trained on when I was here.
Okay. Well, the good news is we're going to get it updated.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would like to say that there was an update that was completed and disseminated to staff. That update was never approved by the board, and so that manual has been removed. We're moving it currently so that we can return to what was approved by the board, and following the process, we'll bring this back to the security when the updates are made, so it'll come to the security committee and then go to the board for board approval.
Okay.
The prior one is still in our network drives, but we've labeled it as non-approved, and so we're returning to the approved one just to make sure we stay with our standard of how we handle business as a district.
From the approved one is the one we're making the changes to bring
That's
it
right.
current. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I got it. That is going to take a minute and a half to do that.
So, really?
Like, it's not going to make it
to... You can't
get
it done in a minute, huh?
Uh-oh, yeah. No, it's not going to make it to this month's agenda.
No.
Maybe and July?
I'm shooting as much, you know, to do it as quick as I can, but also I would like to note that I'm doing also patrol duties as well. So.
Brandon, I'm just glad you're here. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. So we're gonna tell the board what we're doing.
Okay.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. What item number 5 is RMA rules, and I'm
okay.
sure that a great number of items that we train people on are RMA rules.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I have a copy of non-ARC rules. I think it's 34 pages or something like that.
Mm-hmm. The newest
from ones. RMA as of March 2025.
We have that.
So
yes,
you have that.
Yeah, and I'm currently in contact a lot with Chris Smith from RMA Compliance.
Okay.
He just recently emailed me an updated version of the non-ARC rules.
Okay, good.
So that's going to be distributed to the staff, so that way we could get to enforcing the rules and policies and stuff through HOA.
Yeah, I have it here too, and I've gone through this, and it's intense.
Mm-hmm.
It's really intense, and so many, I don't know if you realize how this works, but when you move here, you have to buy one of these, the big one, the whole one, ARC and non-ARC rules. And it's about, I think it's about 134 pages, but I think it's like, because I just bought a house recently, you know, a few years ago, and I think it's about $150, could be more. What happens? I'll tell you what happens. It goes with your deed and your, you know, everything that pertains to your house, and in your, if you're lucky at all, you put it together and you put it in a file cabinet or someplace where you can find it if you need it. Most people do not sit and read 150 pages, but to have it be updated and to have it be available and to have it be here for you, you know, your department and other departments to use, is very important, because at least we have the opportunity to go back and say, oh, here's the rule. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what this says. And so I'm very happy, excited actually, to see that we're going to get this training manual updated and in the right format and have it security be available, how it works, be available to anybody who wants to take the time and the trouble to look it up. Mm-hmm. So thank you. I appreciate that.
And included in this security manual when I was here previously, they always put the non-ARC rules in there, so it was a part of the training procedures as well.
Good.
So it's gonna stay that way as long
as
I'm here.
Okay. All right. So you're feeling really comfortable with that, that you'll have the right kind of manual and the right kind of situation to be able to train people?
Yes, ma'am, because to me, training and education is everything in any job that you get. So if they ever offered any kind of training, that was one of the things I'd always took. You know, coming from the prison background, I continued to train. I became an instructor in defensive tactics and instructor in the shock shield that we use, and I actually trained my own tag team, which is pretty much the prison SWAT team.
Oh,
so I actually train people, and that was one of the things I always told them. If we train every day, then everything just becomes muscle memory, and you'll be able to go on and use this, you know, throughout your career. And you know, I do thank my background a lot for, you know, the way I'm in professionally now. So,
well, I think that's a very healthy attitude. The better we get at this, the easier it gets.
Oh yeah.
So I think we're on the right track here. I really do. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. A little comment about RMA rules connected to signs at the reservoirs. One of my we have a lot of rules, you know, and just reading the boat rules, you know, and the unauthorized vehicle rules, I'm like, okay, I think I get that. But there is, in Rancho Murrieta, there's RMA, which is the homeowners behind the gate. There's the district, and there's I guess that would be it. And we have in other words, we have like groups of people running the RMA and the district, and getting it pulled together is not the easiest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And so there are signs at the reservoirs, and one thing that it takes a little bit of understanding is that RMA owns or runs or yeah they own the land that is Clementia Park. They own 300 feet above the reservoirs, you know, so from the edge of the reservoirs up to that 300 feet. We really only own the water, and the problem as I see it is that we've got a lot of people involved in all of this. This one owns this one owns that, and how do you figure out how you're supposed to manage the rulemaking, etc. So signs at the reservoirs and also in the park's description of the non-ARC rules, it does say that those parks are open around the reservoirs. Or you can't even call those reservoirs park. It's the Clementia Park. But that the usage around the reservoirs of fishing, etc., goes from dawn to dusk.
That's what it says in the RMA mm-hmm. rules? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, dawn to dusk. Then it also says that people, I'm not sure whether they refer to them as people or exactly how they refer, I could look it up, are allowed to be there if they're under 18 till 10 o'clock. And then
under 18 or over
18? Under 18.
I would like to say is unless it's permitted. Because I remember reading something about the rules.
ETC and all that stuff. And if you have a party or a gathering out there, then that's, you're right, it's permitted. But it's dark.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do there. I can understand saying, you know, at Stonehouse that they have pickleball courts that are lit, they have tennis courts that are lit, they have basketball that's lit. So anyways, there's confusion as far as I'm concerned in that it's a very gray area. And if it's dark and there's nothing to do there except get into trouble, then we are patrolling and not able to do anything with the under 18 group who might be in the park at that time. So I haven't done anything formally. I have asked several times about the signs and all of that stuff. And I don't know that anything's going to change. But I'm just bringing it up and pointing it out. And if the topic ever comes up in any of your discussions, I'd like to figure out some way where we could work that out. I'm not exactly sure how to do that at this point, but and it's not the number one priority on the list. But
let me do a little bit of research, because, and I'm going to toss out my guess. My guess is that 10 p.m. curfew follows the Sacramento County's curfew
for minors.
Yes, for minors. Sorry, my distraction there was on something else. So yes, I'm guessing that it follows that, but I'm guessing if we look in to see what we can do with private property, because that property
absolutely
is owned, then possibly we could find some recourse. The other thing is if you're apprised of when RMA board meetings are, it may be beneficial that if one of us, and I'll volunteer to attend, and we speak in the open public format at the beginning and make a comment about protecting our waterways and the possibility of how we can do it. I think with our security staff, we could easily close a pipe gate at dusk, and that would eliminate basically the vehicles being able to drive in there. And then we could also look at what we can do with cameras, because the newer cameras, even what they're using for wildfire detection, has heat sensors that would be very important in an area
that's very
fire prone.
Right.
And I think that's a big concern for the whole community, is that fire. And out in that area, it's so, we'll say it's pretty remote. If you get away from the natural roadway, that a fire risk out there could be very risky for the whole community. So I think we have a way to kind of approach it. But I'll take a look and see what I can do.
Okay. I have heard about that county rule. And my take on that is if we looked into it, I wouldn't be surprised to see it has to be a lit park, or that there are I can't think of the word. Oh, I saw him too. There's a spider there.
That's what distracted me. I apologize for that. No one's here, so.
There's a
I'm calling Spider Protective Services.
We could look at those rules, but I'm more inclined to think that this is a private community and that we are not obligated to have a park open till 10 o'clock. If we're not obligated to light it, then I don't think that rule is going to be applicable to.
Right. I would guess that you're probably correct from a legal perspective, that since it's on private property, even if it would then probably, unless something's changed, it may even be considered a private park, not a public community park.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And that may be where it falls under, why they don't have the time thing. I think we could check into and see. I know there's been communication about, or conversations over, having gates that block that access. I don't believe any of that's used for an emergency evacuation route in the county, but that would be something we could all look into, as well as being at the board meeting for RMA and making public comment about the risks associated with that. And maybe we can get some traction with the public to help us be able to close that off.
I thank you for volunteering. And I think that the way we need to go is to be cooperative with each other and not think of reasons all the time why we can't do it, but why
Definitely.
We can do it. And so I am hopeful. and the signs are those big wooden signs. And there's been discussion back and forth about who put them up. And as far back as Paul Stevenson, he said, we didn't put them up. And so, and RMA says they didn't put them up, so who put them up? I don't know, and I don't even know that that's the issue, quite frankly. The issue is what is the rule, and why does it make sense or not sense, and how we can work with that. So we could put some black masking tape over the top of it, whatever. But it's not the signs per se. It's what the signs say. So I think we have a plan. Okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. We did budget. We did barcodes.
Okay.
I think we've covered it all. Is that, Amelia, am I on the right track there?
Yes, thank you. Okay, we're good.
Okay. Under director and staff comments, anybody?
I have none.
Okay. I have one. We didn't have a security committee for a long time. And when we did, I thought that it was a pretty effective way of communicating with the board. I don't think that the committee needs to get involved in day-to-day things that you do, that you work on and take care of. But as an oversight board, I believe strongly in the fact that this security committee should be like every other committee. It should be like improvements. It should be like finance. What else do we have? Oh, communications. That's a sidebar. but we need to operate the security committee the way the other committees are operated, and that is basically it comes to security like we did today, and then it goes to the board if it's an action item that we want to go to the board. So that's the way we're going to do this. If that's understandable.
Yeah, I think from a district perspective, I think staff is more than willing and receptive to hear the direction that you're giving and agree with you. So
thank you.
I think it's important for the community to have communication updates that regard security. So
yeah,
I would support it, and I think staff will support it.
Okay. And as far as the communication committee is concerned, I am going to speak with the acting president and ask that since communications is kind of different in a lot of ways, and we don't usually have things that we take to the board once in a while, but not always, that we have a time, probably when we're calendaring, and that we take 5 minutes or something, and I can give a report on what happened at the security meeting or at the communications meeting.
I think we could just add that in just as the updates like we do all the others.
Yeah, right.
And you could lead it, definitely. It's open to everybody. I don't think it lists really staff reports. It does say staff reports, right?
It says staff reports.
Maybe we can consider some type of a name change on that, like staff okay. and...
Staff or, and committee reports?
Yeah. I think that'd be great.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to make that change for the June 18th meeting.
Okay. Great.
Staff and committee reports... And so then you'll type something up to send to me so I can include it
sure.
in the thing. And
I'll probably be calling you and saying, what did I say?
Okay.
I did want to make one other comment, and that is that we've been going through a very difficult time. It seems like we've been going through a very difficult time for a long time, but especially the last 6 or so months. And nobody wants this place to function well. More than I do. it's not easy, but we can do it. And I think we're headed in the right direction. And I want to thank both of you, Brandon and Eric, for participating and working with the security committee.
Thank you very much. I also wanted to appreciate Amelia.
Oh.
She has done a fantastic job because she's been through this kind of a few times, and she's helped us weather the storm, and she's been phenomenal at her role, and keeps me on track and keeps the district with all of our agendas and legal items and other things. So, and I knew that you meant that as well, Linda. So I hate to jump in and steal that.
No, there. I really feel badly that I didn't put you in there. But on a overall perspective, I don't know what we'd do without you. Quite frankly, I really appreciate the work that you do and the stress that you're under, and that you do it all with a smile. Yeah.
Keeps me off the streets now. Right?
Okay. The meeting is adjourned.
All right. At 10:45, thank you.